Good evening. Open your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, chapter 4. You know, it's always we always look forward to coming to San Antonio, and especially on the mission conferences. We all get together, and missionaries and can't always come together down there, even though we live relatively close to each other, but our works keep us pretty busy, and we thank the Lord for that. But we do enjoy the good fellowship, enjoy all you guys, seeing you guys again, seeing new faces, seeing old faces, and praying for the ones that are not here to get right with the Lord and come back. And we want to thank you for your prayers in Morelia. Like Brother Bill was saying, we've been seeing the Lord move there, and it's good. And we have a pretty good young group right now. And actually, I didn't really want to start up the young people's meeting again, and my wife kind of pushed me into it. But now that it started, we had a couple meetings, and both times we have over 20 people. So, and you know, they look pretty. You know, the group looks pretty good, so I'm kind of excited to start doing stuff with them and trying to help them out spiritually. In 1 Samuel, in chapter 4, I was reading this, and a couple things struck me kind of funny. You know, as we travel, well, let me just read the verse here. It's chapter 4. Verse 3. It says, "And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies." Now, I don't want to read the whole story. I just want to give you, I just want to talk about basically what it's all talking about here. And what happens is Israel some men die. Israel gets kind of scared, and so they want like a quick fix. They want the ark with them, thinking that the power is in a box. They say, "Well, we have this ark here, then we're going to get the victory." You know, and I started thinking about that. You know, we are so much just like that. So superstitious, you know, just we want a quick fix. You know, it's hilarious to me when we travel at night or when I turn on the TV at night, late at night, down there in Mexico, I always see the same program, same thing. And there's this real skinny lady trying to promote this this liquid that while you sleep, you burn fat. You can eat as much as you want, even more. But if you take this liquid, then while you sleep, you can lose weight. And everybody, you know, you see all these people on their tables, you know, at their hotel and stuff with their big old plates of food. And they're like, "Oh yeah, that'd be great. I like to try that." And they have this thing and they mix it, you know, with water and they put grease and then it separates. And then, "Oh, you know, great. This is, you know, better than sliced bread." And, you know, I mean, this is, they just go crazy, you know. And up here, I was listening to the radio, 1200. And There's some bozos on there talking about some other stuff, you know. "Oh, you just stop eating 3 hours before you go to sleep. You take this thing, and we're just filled, and we just love quick fixes." You know what the problem is? You're a glutton. That's the problem. You know, I mean, I want to. You know, I don't want to be fat. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I really don't. And I struggle with it, you know, and I mean, I just love food, you know, I mean, it's good, you know, food is just good. But you know what? Everything's got to be in moderation. Everything, you know, if you indulge too much in one thing, you're just a glutton. That's all it is, you know. And you know what? Sooner or later, you're not going to have the money to buy those drops. They get expensive, you know, all this Jenny Craig and all that garbage. Man, this is expensive. I remember when I was living up here, and we were just married or whatever, and I don't know what happened, and Karen or I or whoever, we want to go investigate this Jenny Craig down the road. Went in there, I figured, good grief, those meals are expensive. I mean, that was enough for me just to start thinking, forget, I'm going to just stop eating. This is just ridiculous. You know, I mean, I kind of complain over a hamburger, you know, a full meal deal, whatever, but good grief, over there, $10 or something for a meal? Give me a break. You know, and then of course they got the plan, you know, 3 months or 5 months or whatever. Sooner or later you're going to run out of money. You know, and then what? If you don't fix the, if you don't understand that's a sin to indulge. I mean, you just fix that. You know, if you find the root, the problem, then you can fix it. Oh, I'm sorry if anybody's on Jenny Craig and all that stuff. Good for you. You know, I'm sorry if anybody here uses those drops. Great. You know, use the drops. But I can't afford them. I'm not going to use those drops. I'd rather just put a knife to my throat. You know, it's much better for me. You know, I mean, I just know there's just some things, the quick fix ain't the way to go. You know, and lots of times we're beat. Lots of times we're worried about different things or whatever, and we think, okay, let's look for that epistle Brother Lindell sends out. Okay, the mission conference is coming right around the corner. If I can just hold out till then. Oh, the revival's just in a few months. If I can just hold out. These things aren't going to solve the problem. If you're looking for these little meetings or whatever to solve the problem, you're wrong. These guys, you know, the ark was something that God, well, first of all, he commanded. And he gave the measurements, he gave exactly who was going to take care of it, where it was going to be, everything. It was important to God. The ark is important. But, you know, they trusted in that little box, and that's wrong. Superstitious. You know, lots of times, that's how we are. Just like Israel. Superstitious. You know, I came out of Catholicism. I don't know how many of you all are familiar with Catholicism, but it's amazing to me. You know, last Sunday was a very special day for Catholics. The palms. You know, and they all stand around there and they wait to get holy water, you know, on there or whatever. And then lots of them, you know, go home and they nail them on the front door. Like if that's going to do anything. You know, or they get their rosary, you know, and of course they go to their priest and they say, can you bless this? And oh yes, we're going to bless it. And then they go and they put it on their car. You know, or they call the priest, right, to come out because they just bought a new car. And they want them to put holy water so they, you know, it won't break down or they won't wreck it. Are you trusted in that? It's ridiculous. Or you see the baseball players, right, before they get up there. What's all that about, you know? Roland was preaching the other day down there in Morelia, and he used to say when he was driving his hot rod or whatever, and he'd come into close calls, you know, getting almost killed, oh, he'd grab that cross he had there. Like if that was going to help him. You know, I used to be the same way, superstitious. Give me a break. You know, what we need to do is find out where the power is. The power isn't in the ark. The power isn't in these crosses and these palm trees and these... The power isn't there. The power is within us. It's in Christ.
Amen.
If we are born-again believers, we have the power.
Amen.
Not to be people that indulge in just sin and indulge in just whatever. You know, God is... The Bible says we are peculiar people. That's what we are. And that's what... God has saved us to be different. You know... Here we have the children of Israel, and they come there, and you know, they want to get this ark, and they put it there. And look what it says here in verse 5. It says, and when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. It rang again. You know what? A lot of meetings are dead. Just dead. Oh, mission conference is coming. Oh, there's amens now again, right? There's just shouting again, singing again. It's going to end next week. It's going to end next week. What I'm saying is, we can't be focused on meetings, special meetings, that this is going to get the job done. I think it's an everyday thing. I think it's a decision. It's a commitment. Every single day, we're going to live for Christ.
Amen.
And if we're wrong, if we're doing something wrong, we need to change it. Just that easy. Just that simple. Change it. You know, these guys come here and they lose 4,000 men. They get the ark, shout again. All right, now we're going to win. Says here in verse 10, and the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. It got worse. They had the ark, and it got worse. You know, I don't think the problem is we need something physical. We need another meeting. I think the problem is inside. I think we need to get right. You know, the Word of God, the Bible you have, the Bible you bring with you, it's a very special book.
Amen.
You know what my father used to think? My father used to tell me, or he used to do it, he used to keep it open in the living room, in Psalms. He didn't even know what Psalms it was. He just had it open there. As he thought, if it was open there, it would protect his home. You know what I see every day when I go door knocking? I see little stickers on the door to some saint that's going to protect them from the devil coming inside their house. That's what it says up there. Thinking, ignorant people. A little paper? No. This book we have in our hand, it should be something that everybody respects, reverence. But let me tell you something. Just because you have this Bible, it really doesn't mean a thing. Lots of people have Bibles. Lots of Catholics, a lot of Mormons. Mormons are giving away King James Bibles. I couldn't believe it. I heard an announcement. You just call 1-800 number. I'll give you a King James Bible. They're giving away King James. Everybody has Bibles. But you know what? You know what we need to do is believe this Bible.
Amen.
The power, yes, it's within. It's not having it in your hand. Do you think holding a Bible or coming or going to church or keeping it in your living room is what's going to keep you safe? No. You got to trust this Bible.
Amen.
Look what Paul says. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. Paul says in verse 13, it says, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. You know what? Hold fast the word. This is what we need to keep, the word. You know, I started thinking about the Bible. You know, there's lots of things sacred to God. And I think what's sacred to God should be sacred to us. You know, there's a lot of things that I don't think we should alter. You know, when it comes to the Word of God, there's some things that need to just be exactly the way it is, exactly the way how God said it. We need to follow it. You know, there's a lot of ideas out there, but you know what? I'm all for ideas. But if it's going to go contrary to what the Word says, no, forget it. Forget it. Everyone says, well, you know, you're just a little old in your way of thinking. You know, the people who taught you are just, you know, a little bit out there. Well, you know what? I want to be a little bit out there. You know, I want to believe that book. I want to finish my course and believe that book all the way to the end. And you know what? It may be that we're a little fanatical in the way we believe. But you know what? It doesn't really matter what people think. You know, it really doesn't matter. And you know, a lot of times we're moved by that, by what people think. Well, who cares what people think?
Amen.
We need to be occupied of what the Lord thinks,
Amen.
Not what people think. You know, and as I started thinking about this also, the Bible says also there in 1 Samuel in chapter 5 that when the Philistines came and they took the ark, they took it back to their temple and they put it next to their god, Dagon. Have you read that story? It's pretty funny. It's pretty hilarious. They put it there in that temple, and then the next morning they go out to their temple, and that Dagon is flat on his face, you know, and thinking, hey, you know, our God fell down. And so they pick him back up, right? Okay, everything's fine, you know. The people didn't see, everything is all right. And then they come back the next day, not only is it on the ground, but it doesn't have a head and don't have hands no more. It's chopped off. Well, you know, when I started thinking about that, you know, I started thinking, well, you know, if that ark wasn't powerful to win the battle for Israel, how did that happen? Why did God do that? Well, you know what? That ark was something sacred to God. God gave the measurements to that ark, and he said, it's gonna abide right here in this place. And they took the ark, and they put it in their house, and they put it where they thought it should be. And God said no. Not only did he destroy that image, but the Bible said many people were smitten. And it also said that the ones that they didn't die had a terrible curse upon them. They had a bad infirmity upon them. Really bad. You know, when I started thinking, there's some things that we need not despise. God esteemed that ark. God said they shouldn't have it in the first place. And they got it right next to an image? No. No. I ain't going to handle it. And they were smitten. Well, you know what? I started thinking, there's some things that we should also be careful not to despise. Because they're God's. God ordained them. You know, and I started thinking about church, the services. Oh man, you know, God is the one that said in Hebrews 10:25 for us not to forsake the assembly. That this assembly is to exhort one another until that day comes, until Christ comes back. You know, a lot of us despise this. Like if it's just, you know, just another, you know, meeting, I don't know, whatever. Oh no, it's not. God ordained this. You shouldn't despise the meetings. You shouldn't despise week-long meetings. You shouldn't despise 10-day or 15-day revivals. You shouldn't despise this. Amen. You should make it a point to come.
Amen.
You should make it a point to meet every time the doors are open to worship the Lord.
Amen.
Now look, believe me, I'm not out here to make you feel bad. All right? But I believe that God is worth it. I know many times we can't make it, or for whatever reason, you know, that's between you and the Lord. And my preaching is between me and the Lord too. You know, I started thinking also evangelism. You know, God also, he made it a point to put it in the Word that he wants every creature to hear. Mark 16. Every creature. Well, that falls back on us. You know, every time we say, no, I just can't do it anymore. Or I just won't do it anymore. Or I'm not going to go and do it. You're despising what God ordained. You're saying, no, I'm not going to do it the way He said it. Well, you know, everything we have, life, everything that we possibly is good in our lives has come from God.
Amen.
You know, it's like, you know, I think of David, how much he wanted to make that house. Oh, he desired it. The Lord said, you ain't going to do it, but I'm going to choose your son to do it. He was content with that. Okay, that's fine. But you know what? He didn't give up. He wanted all the way to the end. He stored up, he saved up whatever it was for the house of God. All the way to the end. He had a desire. He didn't want to despise this one thing that he could do for the Lord and build him a good house. Because God is worth it. You know, I started thinking, fellowship. Boy, fellowship in the Lord. You know? I mean, we shouldn't despise that. I tell you what, I know some of us are high maintenance people. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you really gotta, man, it's like a balloon that has a hole, right? You just keep on blowing, you know? And it just never fills up. You just, and you get tired of some people. You know? And then there's other people who you just show up and they just talk your ears off. You don't have to do anything. But the fellowship is good.
Amen.
The fellowship. God has put us together. We shouldn't despise the fellowship. Man, why do I want to break fellowship with the Lord and walk in darkness? Why would I want to do that? You know, I know it's possible, and I know I'm a wretched man. I know I'm a sinner. I know I feel God. You know, I am humbled every single month when I get my offerings. I'm just humbled. I'm serious. I'm not saying, no, don't get me wrong, not the amount. I'm not complaining. What I'm saying is, I see the same people every single month. I'm humbled. They're faithful.
Amen.
You know, every now and again, I look at that list and I say, I just don't deserve this. I really don't.
Amen.
You know, but it makes me want to just do a little bit more. Just a little bit more. You know, I started also thinking about preaching. You know, it says that God chose the fullness of preaching to save. Oh, but some people just despise preaching. You know, sometimes I despise the people that I preach to. But man, I consider it a privilege. A privilege to get out there and to preach the gospel to people. And maybe someone's going to hear, and maybe someone's going to be touched, and maybe someone is going to get saved. You know, and it's worth it. I mean, if you've never won anybody, just to see the transformation, just to see it, you know, I mean, that coin just drops. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just boom. I mean, they just get it. Bam. I understand now. This is how you get saved. And they stand up in the meeting and they publicly say it.
Amen.
That's great. And I sit back and I just say, God, you are great.
Amen.
You know, love for one another. You know, we shouldn't despise loving one another. And like I said, I know some of us are high maintenance brethren, you know, but we need to love them even though they're high maintenance. You know, maybe sooner or later they'll get fixed. But you know, we do. We need to love one another with all our faults, you know. With everything that I know that rubs people the wrong way about me, rubs people, you know, you rub me the wrong way sometimes too, you know, but there's no other people that I'd want to be with.
Amen.
But you guys, you know, and my coworkers, and I tell you sometimes, you know, I get frustrated sometimes, you know, and I mean, but we have a ball sometimes, you know, Bill always forgets things. He forgets to tell me things. And the bad thing is he thinks he did tell me. Roland's close behind. I'm the one with a good memory. Tomorrow's your turn, brother. Bill ain't going no more. You know, there's some things that we need not despise. You know, we shouldn't despise our youth either. You know, it just tears me up. It really does. You know, I'm scared. I really am. I have a daughter. And, you know, I keep telling my wife, as soon as my daughter, write her name completely without messing up, I'm going to make her sign a contract. She ain't leaving the house. She ain't getting married. She's staying with me. It's scary. You know, we shouldn't despise our children. We need to raise them up. It's tough. We don't need to be giving up on them. You know, we need to love one another, church, family. You know, there's just some things, like Brother Linda was saying this morning about you know, with his relationship with Verlene. You know? And how there's probably lots of times they've gotten lots of arguments, you know? But they had a lot to be thankful for. Their kid, I mean, just the whole nine yards. I think we need to endure. We need to be people that endure lots of things. Because we see, We see the goal. We see what is important. And that's the Lord. The Lord is important. You endure whatever you need to endure. Whatever your lot is in life, whatever the Lord, you know what? It's a blessing. From what I get out of the scriptures, it's a blessing when you are afflicted. When God tries you. Man, He notices you? Yeah, He notices you. You know? He allows this to happen in your life? Praise God! Hey man, God's checking me out! God is actually concerned about me. He wants me to grow. He wants me to be useful. Man, if nothing ever happened to me, if I could walk disorderly and not see the consequences in my life, I would be scared.
Amen. Amen.
But because I do see God and the consequences of my actions, I say, okay, I know God is looking for me. I know God is there. You know, I started thinking about this, how they despised the ark, and how we despise lots of things. There's many things probably that we despise. I just thought of these things, but you know, I started thinking about another thing, how much you and I should love and really care for God's people. And for God's work, and to just sacrifice. We should really just love to do it. 1 Samuel. Turn back there again. 1 Samuel chapter 4. This really hit me. Look what happened. In chapter 4. In verse 18, it says, what happened here is they had that big old slaughter, and they took the ark, and they come back, and they give the news to the man of God. He says, and it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And then he goes on to say that the wife of one of his sons also felt bad when the ark was taken. It says in verse 22, and she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. You know, these two people, they really loved and cared for that, the instrument that God had ordained for Israel. And when they knew that it was taken, the old man fell and died. And his daughter-in-law died after childbirth. I mean, she's just destroyed. She's just, because the ark was taken. You know, and I started thinking about that. What about us? I mean, are we so callous that we don't love and care for the brethren? For the work? I think we ought to be just like these people. We have no guarantees, to tell you the truth. You know, a lot of people, like I said, superstitious. Superstitious. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean your kids are going to turn out okay. Just because you're a minister doesn't mean your kids are going to be walking with the Lord. You got to put some work into it. You got to put some affection, some desire. You got to make a commitment that this is what you got to do. And even then, there's no guarantees. But I tell you what. We really got to do our part and not despise. Really love this work. Really love what God has done in us. I got another verse. 2 Corinthians 6. I don't think we need quick fixes. I don't think we need symbols. I don't think we need all these things. I think we need the power of God. I really do. And like I said, every one of us is born again. We have that power. The Holy Spirit lives in us. The Bible talks about we should be walking in the Spirit. We need those fruits of the Spirit. It says here in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in affliction, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. You know, we are workers together with God. We don't need to be looking for things to grasp. We don't need to be walking by sight. Man, we have God with us. We have God in us. The Bible says greater is He that lives in us. We don't need, there's not a quick fix. We shouldn't be looking for quick fixes. We shouldn't be looking for things we can touch. We got the answer, brethren. It's right here. We need to be sure, we need to trust the Word, and we need to be anchored right here. We need the power of God. How are we going to get our kids back? Power of God. How are we going to do a great work for God? By God, the power of God. We need His presence. We need His movement. We need Him right here. Amen?